Mark chapter number 2, verse number 18. That's where we're going to begin reading tonight, having the opportunity and the privilege to walk through this gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 2, verse number 18. If you found your place, let's stand tonight in honor and reverence for the reading of the Word of God. I want to preach, as the Lord is my helper, on this thought, a new era. A new era. Mark chapter 2 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And they come and say unto him, Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. No man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles." And you may be seated tonight. The Bible here, as we're looking in Mark chapter number 2, we find that Jesus had just had that experience over at Levi's house. He'd had the privilege of seeing him called into salvation, had the privilege of seeing him have an earnest desire, a heartfelt desire, to know Christ, to know Him in a more intimate way. And he didn't want to hoard Him up for himself, but he wanted to share Him with his friends. Now we know, the Bible tells us there, that Jesus had been sitting there eating and sharing a meal with publicans and with sinners. Oh my goodness, the Pharisees were about to have a fit. They were looking over there and observing what that Jesus was doing, how that He was reaching out and how that He was spending His time with the muck and the mire of the world, how that He was lowering Himself and allowing Himself to hang out with those that weren't necessarily up on the social chain in which that they were, in which they thought that a so-called Messiah should be hanging around with. We find that the Bible says there in verse number 18, and it uses that conjunction, that word "and." And we find that if you study it, and I'm not necessarily able to do that 100% on my own, but as we decipher what that Greek word "and" says, the expositors say that it connects this section of Scripture with what had just preceded in the previous paragraph. So we find the Bible says there, "and." So we find that these Pharisees that were approaching Jesus were the same Pharisees that were there at Levi's house that just observed Him. And we find that they approached Him and they poised unto Him this question. The Bible says, "And the disciples of John and the Pharisees used to fast. And they come and say unto Him, Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not?" So my friend, we see that Jesus uses this question as a launching pad. That's what I want to think about. First of all, if we're entering into a new era, there first of all is a launching. My friend, if you go down here to the lake and you want to go out on the boat ride, want to go out there and do some fishing, you first of all have to launch out. If those astronauts, as they get ready to go into outer space and they go down here to Cape Canaveral, first thing they got to do is they got to climb in that rocket and they've got to launch off. My friend, there has to be a point in time in which a new era takes place. We find that God so chose that there was an appointed time in which would be fulfilled, in which that the Messiah would come and make Himself known unto mankind. And we find that that's what Jesus is trying to share with those Pharisees, is that, hey boys, there's a new era that's taking place. There's a new era, there's a new beginning as to how that things are going to be done. Now, that's not to change how that people get saved necessarily, because salvation has always been by grace through faith. You can read the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and you can discern that for yourself as the author takes you all the way back Well, all the way back under the days of Enoch and the days of Noah. And so we find that the Bible shares with us here in Mark chapter 2 that Jesus is trying to set a precedent that in order for us to proceed forward, we got to let go of some things that are behind us. And the Pharisees were poising this question unto Him. And they ask Him, they say, now, the disciples of John and the Pharisees, they're used to fasting. They commit themselves unto allowing themselves to be separated from food or for drink. And we know that ceremonially in the Jewish religion, that there were certain days, certain times, certain periods throughout their religious calendar in which that they were committed to fast. Now, they were to do without food, maybe for one entire day. We find that in other times that they would commit themselves to fast, maybe from a particular food or from a choice food or a certain food, maybe for a period of days. But we find that the Pharisees fasted. Now, the Pharisees, we know that they were whom that Jesus was talking about over in Matthew chapter number 6. Verse number 16, Jesus said, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Hey, Jesus was talking unto them as being hypocrites because they desired for everybody to know what was going on within them. They wanted everybody to know what they were sacrificing, wanted everybody to know what they were giving up. Hey, they wanted to be uplifted because they were religious. They wanted to be magnified because they upheld all of the law and tried to uphold all the oral law and all the walls and all the things that they had built upon that. And we find that Jesus was coming along and He was using this as a launching pad, if you will, to direct their attention unto what fasting truly ought to be about. Now, the Bible says there, the disciples of John. Now, we know them to be the disciples of John the Baptist, that man that was a preacher for Jesus. He was a forerunner of the Messiah. And many believe that the reason that many of these men fasted was because it was a sign of their faith. Hey, they weren't trying to fast to achieve anything. They were just saying, "I'm fasting because I've come to a place in a time of my life in which I repented of my sin, and I'm waiting for the Messiah to arise on the scene." And we find that it was a confession of their need for cleansing. And so we find that they were acknowledging that they were sinners. Now, that was far different from what the Pharisees were doing. But nevertheless, the Pharisees poised this question unto Jesus. And He says, "As the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast, and they come and say unto Him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not?" Hey, you boys are sitting here eating. You're having a merry time. You're enjoying yourself. And they pose this question unto Jesus. And they use that. And Jesus responds in this manner. He says there in verse number 19, "Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them?" Now, the children that we see there is referring to speaks of the offspring or the descendants. It's talking about those that have been invited to a great marital feast. Those that have been invited to a banquet in celebration of one man and one woman coming together. Now, I want to tell you what, a marriage time ought to be a happy time. Amen. Sometimes you find folks crying. Sometimes you find folks boo-hooing, wondering, worrying about what's going to take place in years to come because their baby's run off and gotten themselves hitched. Well, I'll tell you what, if it's all in the Lord's will, amen, it ought to be a joyous time. Hey, if there's tears flowing down, they ought to be tears of joy. And the Bible says here that Jesus speaks here in verse number 19. He says, "Can the children or the offspring or those that have been invited unto the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them?" Now, that bride chamber describes those that were the friends of the bridegroom, and their duty was to provide and to care for whatever that pertained unto the bridal chamber. Hey, it was their desire that whatever that was needed for the due celebration of the nuptials, that everything would be there. And we find that the friends of the bridegroom are there. We find that all of the bride chambers there, those that were the groomsmen, And we find that the groom and the bride are there, and it's a joyous time. Hey, it wasn't no time to be separating yourself. Hey, we see the launching of a new era, but we also find that Jesus presents unto us the loving of a new era. Hey, I'll tell you what, these folks had no reason to cry, had no reason to whine, had no reason to be in a time of desperation because, hey, they were at the wedding feast. Hey, they were enjoying the presence of the bride and the bridegroom. And the Bible says there, Jesus posed this question, and He said, how can they fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. Hey, I'll tell you what, a time of fasting, as Jesus said, was a time of mourning. Now, I'll tell you what, as long as we have Jesus with us, hey, there ain't no reason, ain't no need to be in a time of woe, ain't no need to be in a time of worry, ain't no need to be in a time in which we always moan and groan and woe and agony is on me. Ain't no need to be in that type of state. Hey, my friend, we need to realize that in the new era in which that Jesus presented, the new era in which that Jesus brought forth, hey, if the bridegroom is present, whom Jesus is, and we are the bride of Christ, the church. Hey, where we're together and we're united and we're joined with Him. Hey, it ought to be a time of joy and a time in which we serve Him. Amen. Hey, you know who loves Jesus? It's those that want to serve Him. My friend, we ought not to just love Him because He saved us and got us out of the devil's hell and applied multiple mercy and gave to us great grace. Hey, that ought to be enough to serve Him for. But we ought to serve Him just because we desire to do unto Him just a portion of what that He's granted unto us. My friend, we ought to serve Him out of the abundance of our heart, not out of the necessity of our need. Hey, we ought to serve Him because we love Him and because we appreciate Him, not because we feel like we're putting a squeeze and we feel like that it's our responsibility and it's our duty. Hey, it is our duty, but we ought to serve Him because we love Him. Amen. Hey, a new era in which that Christ brought forth was to say, hey, this ain't just about religion anymore. It's about a personal relationship with the Holy God through His Holy Son, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when the Word of God is presented, and the Holy Ghost comes by, and the two of them converge, and they get together, and they hook up, and they fall down upon a sinner's heart, hey, there's a new era that begins. There's a new birth that happens. And folks just want to love on Jesus. Boy, can't you go back to the time in which you used to love on Jesus? Can you go back to the day in which that Jesus brought you out, and where He birthed you into the family of God? Can you go back to that day? Do you desire to go back to that day? Amen. I believe that's what revival is all about from time to time, is that we go back to where we used to be. We go back to an old tear-stained altar. Now we go back unto a place in which we ask Jesus into our heart. Maybe by a campfire on a mountainside or knelt down in a carport somewhere. Hey, praise unto His holy name. We need to go back sometime. Hey, sometimes we need a fresh start. Amen. I'll tell you what, some folks just need a fresh start. Hey, there's a lot of folks, some denominations say, well, they just need to get saved again. No, hey, if they're genuinely saved, they just need to get a fresh touch. Amen. Just need to get a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. Now, some of them are just as lost as a dog in high weeds, and they genuinely do need to get saved. But I'll tell you what, if God's done a work in your heart, sometimes we just need a fresh touch. Need to love on Him. Need to love on Him. Hey, we see in a new era, there's the launching. We see in a new era, there's the loving. We see in a new era, there's the longing. Look what the Bible says in verse 20. He says, but the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. Jesus knew that there was going to come a time in which that He wasn't going to be with the bride. And when the bridegroom and the bride are separated, and the bride chamber is kind of broke down and broken up, my friend, there ought to be a time of longing. Amen. Hey, sometimes we need to come back to a place in which that we long for Jesus to show up and show out. Amen. Hey, we need to long for God to do a work in our heart. Need to long for God to do a work in our church. Do you ever wonder what's going on in the days and times in which we live? Do you ever wonder why it's so hard to get a lost person to a place in which they fall on their face and cry out to God and say, "Save my soul, Lord Jesus." Do you ever long for a day in which we can come back to see God's power ever so preeminent, ever so permeating a service, in which folks are afraid to move, in which folks are afraid to stir, in which folks are afraid to even begin to move toward an altar. Boy, it's good whenever God comes by. Amen. Hey, there ought to be a longing inside of us, wondering, waiting, desiring that God might come along. My friend, we find that they cried out there in verse number 20. He says, "But the days will come." And my friend, I'll tell you what, I believe a lot of them are here, amen, in the day and time which we're in. Hey, there needs to be a longing within our heart. You say, "Preacher, I want a new day to dawn in the morning." Well, my friend, you got to get a burdened heart. Got to get a heart that's broken. Got to get a heart that's longing. Got to get a heart that's overwhelmed with a desire for God to come by and move in our hearts and our lives and our families and our homes and our churches, that we might be able to see God come back and make Himself permeated, prevalent here at East Ark Baptist Church. I don't think God's honored necessarily all the time by us going through the motions. Amen. I'll tell you what, sometimes we get so much in routine that we know who's going to sing, and we know how they're going to sing, and we know what they're going to sing. You know the preacher's going to preach, and you know how he's going to sweat, and you know how he's going to spit, and you know when he's going to stutter. Amen. And I'll tell you what, we need to get back to a place and a time in which we're longing for God to come by and show up and show out and just have ourselves a time. My friend, there needs to be a new era, a beginning in our life. My friend, we see there needs to be some longing take place. Whenever He's carried off, lifted off, and taken away, He says, "Then they shall fast in those days." Well, in a new era, we see that there's the launching. My friend, you got to start somewhere. Amen. Hey, Jesus used this as a launching pad whenever He has poised this question to do some instructing. My friend, if you want God to do a work in your heart and a work in your life and your home and your family, hey, you've got to begin somewhere. So my question to you is, when are you going to start? Is it going to be tonight? Is it going to be tomorrow? Is it going to be Sunday? Is it going to be next week, next year? My friend, we got to start somewhere. But God might just want to start in your heart tonight. God might just want to start right here in this service. We find that there's the launching. We find that there's the loving of those when they're with Jesus. We find there's the longing of those when they're departed and separated from Jesus. But boy, I'll tell you what, this right here has been the hardest part for me, Brother Curtis, is the learning. Amen. Learning. Now, we all don't know everything when we first start out, do we? Some of us think we do. Some of us think we know a whole lot. But I mean, you know, like Brother Kurt started, you started sheriff 4 years ago. I'd say you've learned a whole lot in those 4 years. Whenever you start a new job, you have to start it right at ground zero. You have to work yourself up, build yourself up. I'll tell you what, Christianity ain't no different. Christian walk ain't no different. My friend, we got to go through some times in which that we learn, in which we discern, in which that we experience. And my friend, it always ain't a bed of roses. It always ain't real easy. But my friend, we ought never come to a place in which we know it all. Amen. I'll tell you what, people that think they know it all, they'll either prove themselves or they'll find themselves full of embarrassments, what they'll find. And they'll find themselves at the wrong spot at the wrong time. Look what Jesus, now Jesus begins and He used this parable. And He talks about the garment and He talks about the wineskin. And both of them have something to teach us tonight if we'll open up our heart and our mind. Now, a parable is a heaven or an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's what Jesus used to, He'd take everyday common things that were around Him and He would use them to teach a spiritual lesson unto those who were listening. Now, as Brother Andy and I have shared, as he shared in Sunday school, you can't take every little thing of the earthly and apply something spiritual to it. I know some folks try to do that, and they can't explain everything most of the time. But if you'll just allow the Word of God to speak to your heart tonight, look what it says. He says, "No man also soweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment. Now, that new that it's describing there is a piece of cloth that's been unmilled, unfilled, undressed, and unprocessed. It's brand hammer new. It's brand spanking new. It's something that has never went through the fuller's process. It's something that's never had that application applied to it. So the Bible says, no man also soweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment. Now, old, as it's described there, speaks of that which is ancient. It speaks of that which is no longer new. It speaks of that which is worn by use. And it's talking about that which is so worn and so used that it's about wore out. Now, I'll tell you what, sometimes we try to get the best out of everything we've got. Amen? Sometimes we'll wear it out before we replace it. Now, you ladies got some kitchen knives like that, right? You ladies probably got some things like that. I know I've got some tools. I just about soon wear them out as to replace them. And so we find that the Bible says here that he's talking about some clothing and trying to take a piece of new cloth and attach it to an old garment. Now, he says, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. Now, I'm no seamstress. I'm no sewing person. That's not my field. But I understand what he's saying here when he describes the fact that there's a hole that's taking place in a garment. And he wants to patch that. You need to realize you can't just take a brand hammer new piece of cloth and try to attach it to an old, worn out, thin garment. Now, the Bible here describes unto us that this one piece is new. Now, I said that speaks of it being unfilled. Now, that fuller's trade was a process in which there was a process of cleansing, a process of shrinking, a process of thickening, and then through the use of moisture and heat and pressure, they would allow that new piece of cloth to go through that process to where that it wouldn't, wherever it was applied to that old garment, that it wouldn't tear away from it. Now, a brand new item. Now, I learned a long time ago, Brother Ronnie, you better watch what you stick in the dryer. I believe I've ruined three of Beth's sweaters. Two or three. Three, she says. Because I didn't hang them up to dry. I just thought everything went in the dryer. Amen. But you find out that brand new cloth that has to go through a process. And if it ain't never been through that process, then we find that it'll shrink. It'll draw up. So what they're saying is you don't take a brand new piece of cloth and apply it to that old garment because it'll shrink up and the rent will be made worse than it was before. It won't suffice what you want it to do. It will not do the purpose or the duty in which that it was intended to do. But I believe what God is saying unto us through this is that you can't take something that's old and apply it to something that's new and expect it to work and expect it to last unless it's went through a process. Now, they said that was a process of cleansing. They said that was a process in which that there was some shrinking. It went through a process of thickening. Amen. Hey, I think first of all we got to get cleansed. Amen. Hey, you got to get cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ to enter into this new covenant of the Holy God that you might be able to be used in this lost and dying world for the glory of Him. That's what it's all about anyway. Amen. It ain't about what this church can do to outdo that church. It ain't about our tithes being greater than that other church down the road. It ain't about us outdoing somebody else in our missions program. No, what it's about is bringing glory and honor and praise unto the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And sometimes we got to go through some cleansing. Sometimes we got to get saved. Sometimes we got to get set in right standing with the Holy God. Because we're saved, but we've been walking outside of His will. Been walking outside of His way. And my friend, we got to get cleansed. Got to get back to where we need to be. Hey, He said there comes a time where there needs to be some shrinking going on. Amen. Hey, I know a lot of high-minded people that need to belittle themselves and need to humble themselves and need to get to where they need to be before a holy God, before God can use them to do a work in this new era in which we're living in. And I think the only way we can bring glory unto God is to allow Him to be magnified, allow Him to be lifted up. Hey, it's a learning process for some, because a lot of folks think, but boy, when they got saved, they know it all. I know some preachers that think that whenever they got called and preached, all of a sudden right then, they knew it all. And I'll tell you what, if you get that kind of mindset, you're in for a long haul. You're in for a big disappointment one of these days. And I'll tell you what, the learning in which Jesus, I believe, ultimately is trying to say is that, hey, Pharisees, you can't do it the way you used to and be accepted in this new era in which I'm dealing with. Hey, religion ain't going to get you nowhere. It's only through the blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that you're going to be magnified in His eternal kingdom, that you're going to be lifted up in the days to come, that you're going to have a place, a prominent place in glory on the other side, is if you serve Him in the day and time. Hey, I believe He's trying to say that there's a separation between the Mosaic Law, which was designed to show you you as a sinner and separated from God, and coming into an age of grace and living in a day and time in which we realize, hey, we can't work it up. We can't do everything the Law tells us to do. I need some help. And the place I can find help is at Calvary's tree. My friend, through what Jesus done for you and I as He gave of His life's blood, my friend, it's by His grace that we are who we are today. It's by His mercy that we are who we are today. So my friend, we see that Jesus said, hey, there needs to be a whole lot of learning go on, and you Pharisees need to realize what needs to take place. Now, He uses another parable there of this wineskin. And He says, no man putteth new wine into old bottles. Now, that new wine in which that He's describing there speaks of that which has been recently born, that which is youthful, that which is young. He's talking about the fresh squeezings, amen, off the fruit of the vine. And they would take those grapes and they put them in that wine press, and they'd allow that, as they went through that process, to allow that juice to be brought forth and brought out. And what they would do, they would put it right in to a new bottle. Now, the bottle in which this is describing there is a leather bag. But it's talking about a wineskin. And we find that they were made out of sheep and lambs. We find that they were made there out of their hides. And they were, because they had a lot of elasticity whenever they were fresh, whenever they were young. So they put that new wine, that fruit of the vine, grape juice in there. As it went through that fermentation process, it would expand and it would become larger. And what Jesus is saying is, hey, if you want to do it right, you got to put new wine into new wineskins. He says, no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. Now, we know that some folks would just take a fit over spilt wine. We know some folks say, boy, that's a bad thing. In the day and time in which Jesus lived, there's a lot different going on. There was a lot of medicinal purposes. Praise God. I'm glad for rubbing alcohol now, ain't you? I'm thankful for Pepto-Bismol. Amen. I'm thankful for what that God allowed folks to come to knowledge as to how to use. And we find that we don't have to indulge in those types of things anymore. But the Bible says here that else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. They'll be ruined. They will not suit their purpose in which they were intended for. You see, what they did with the old bottles was that once that they had used all their elasticity a time or two, we find that they would be used for water bottles and things of that nature. So we find He says, hey, the wine's destroyed, the wineskin's destroyed, the bottle's marred. He says, but new wine must be put into new bottles. So my friend, I want you to realize tonight that we need to go through a learning process in a new era in which we're living in, and recognize that the only way that we can do what God wants us to do is to do it in the right way, in the right manner in which that Jesus tells us that we ought to do. And that's according to that precious Bible you're holding in your hand tonight. According to that Word of God that's laying in your life. That's what we need to live by, amen. It ain't about oral tradition. It ain't about what took place 50 years ago. And preacher, that's the way we ought to do it because that's the way it's always been done. My friend, I'm all for doing it the way it's always been done, as long as it lines up that precious Word of God. God, amen. And my friend, if everything lines up under the headship of Jesus, then everything will work out all right. But my friend, sometimes you need to get your bubble bursted, amen. I know some folks that have had to spit out that pride, had to let go of that ego, had to lower themselves and humble themselves through the learning process of this walk of Christianity. My friend, we're not going to know it all until we get there, amen.
I'm not going to know it all. I'm still going to be learning. I'm still going to be belittling myself. I'm still, hey, there's still going to be a whole lot of me getting out of the way and a whole lot of Jesus getting in by the time that I leave this world and go on to be with glory. But my friend, I want to tell you, until that time takes place, I hope percentage is consistently to becoming just a little bit greater on the side of Jesus. And my friend, that's exactly what your desire ought to be. Hey, if you want a fresh touch and a new era to take place in your life, there needs to be a launching take place. There needs to be some loving takes place. There needs to be some longing take place. And there needs to be some learning to take place in our life. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.